Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again, and we have the great family from all over the world. And I thank God for all of you, and I hope you'll be praying for the program that God will use His Word to speak to people's hearts. And we're so glad to have the opportunity of talking to you. We're going to have an open mic soon, and you can call in, tell how God's Word has blessed you, or maybe you have questions or comments about what we're talking about. But this program is, I call it equal time. Because so many people are attacking the Bible and questioning it and so on. And so on our program, why we uphold the Bible, and we believe that the Bible is the King James Version of the Bible. And God has said that He would preserve His Word perfect. And so we believe that we have a perfect Word of God. And it's something that we have. It says, Thy Word is truth, and Thy Word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against Thee. And it's so that's what we're doing. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask Brother Davidson, he's back with us again, and I appreciate him, and ask him to read the countries. And we want to thank you for all the folks that are listening to us and where we're having listeners. And this time, this last month, we got more calls from Israel than any place else. So we had more hits on the internet from Israel, and we're certainly glad to hear from them because they're the what prophecy is all about. They're God has revealed Himself through the nation of Israel to the world, and prophecy is connected with Israel. And so we had probably more calls from Israel than any other place except the United States. And we have a lot of calls from the United States also where people are listening. But I think it'd be interesting if we read where people are listening to us, and I asked Brother Davis just to read the names of the countries.
Okay. And, well, thank you, Bruce. And this is actually a list of visits to Bruce's website for the radio program. You can find it at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And just to remind you, you can find past programs that Bruce has done at the website, whereisgodsword.com. And we've seen a number of visits from a variety of countries. And as Bruce was saying, a number of people from Israel have been visiting the website at whereisgodsword.com. And not only from Israel and the United States, of course, but also places such as Argentina, Austria, Brazil, Canada, China, Denmark, France, Germany, Great Britain, India, Israel, as we mentioned, Jamaica, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Latvia, Moldova, Russia, Turkey, the Ukraine, and even a few countries. We don't know exactly which ones they are, but they're listed as, at least the search engine lists them as unknown. So it's a tremendous opportunity to have a worldwide ministry through the radio and through the internet. And I certainly appreciate those listening and those visiting the website at whereisgodsword.com and downloading some of the programs and listening to them there, and also checking out some of the resources that Bruce has made available in terms of books that you can find on the Bible issue there, and as well as some other videos you can see Bruce preaching and even singing on the website there, as well as some other things that hopefully will be of interest and help you in understanding this whole issue of the importance of upholding and defending God's Word, especially the King James Version of the Bible in the English language. So hopefully you'll get a chance to check that website out, whereisgodsword.com.
I'm so glad once again to have my friends here that are working with me, and Brother Marvin Bassinger. He picked me up today from my house, and he's here with us today, and I'm going to have in a few minutes have him read something from the Word of God, and then Brother Pastor Davis, and Brother Davis, and also Clark is still in the hospital. He fell down and broke a bone in his body, and he's still in recovery. And so, Clark out there, I know you're listening, and we appreciate you greatly. And so, I appreciate all the fellows, the guys that are helping me here. And Brother Davis, pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and I'll ask him to make the announcements that he has at this time.
All right, and we've mentioned the website there, whereisgodsword.com. You can visit that. And also, thank you, Bruce. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we have a program on here on AM 1220, The Word, on Friday afternoons at 1:30 till 2, and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock until midnight. And so we do a live call-in Bible question and answer program, and it's hopefully it's a blessing to people. But God's opened up the door of opportunity there, and it's also a blessing and privilege to be able to help Bruce Musselman out with his program here.
All right, I would like to read. I'd like to talk about a few scripture verses to start off with, but I'm going to ask Marvin if he would read a passage out of the Bible.
Beginning in the Gospel according to John, in chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, it says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I have sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and that the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John chapter 17, verse 14 through 26.
Okay, Marvin, thank you very much for that. And before we go on, I'm just going to, I want to mention this book again. It's called Hazardous Materials. I'm telling you that I think every preacher should read this book. It's about 900 pages. And in there, it tells what is going on in the Greek departments. And we talk about this. We hear these people constantly correcting the King James, showing off, but they don't know what they're talking about. And the Greek departments of so many, even the Bible institutes and colleges, it's very, very corrupt. And this book, Hazardous Materials, actually tells who put these out. You know, if somebody, for instance, if you're in a church and you decide you want to have some deacons in the church, you don't go down to McDonald's and pick out people to be deacons, right? You wouldn't do that, Brother Davis, would you?
But you get fries with that.
Yes. So they're taking, what's happening today is they're using Greek professors, and they're using Greek dictionaries and Greek language people that are not even saved. And they're using their material, and it's, and in this book, Hazardous Materials, it shows the corruption in the Greek department. One college professor or college president read this book, and he said, I'm getting rid of the whole Greek department. And people tell me, well, I got to study what the Greek says, but you see the corruption in there. And there's all kinds of Greek texts, corrupt Greek texts. There's all kinds of corrupt Greek dictionaries. And so somebody just will say, well, the Greek says no. There's many, many different definitions given that are corrupt and that disagree with one another. Many different Greek texts that are corrupt. Someone's counted 666 different Greek texts plus all the dictionaries. And this book explains and tells the whole story of it. That's why every preacher, you say, well, I don't agree with what you're saying. Well, I'll tell you, if there's a major controversy, I would read on anything that was really important. I'd read all sides to find out what was going on. And I would definitely suggest that every preacher that is informed should read this book, Hazardous Materials, the Greek and Hebrew Study Dangers, Voice of Strangers. And I'm going to ask Brother Davis if he would at this time give where they can get this book.
All right. You can get this a variety of ways if you have access to the internet. Certainly at whereisgodsword.com, you can find a link there, and you can go right to their publication site, avpublications.com. That's AV for authorized version, avpublications.com. And you can call with an order at, let's see, get the right number here, 276-251-1734. That's 276-251-1734. Or you can write to AV Publications, P.O. Box 280, Ararat, Virginia, 24053. That's AV Publications, P.O. Box 280, Ararat, Virginia, 24053.
All right, thank you very much. And so you can call them, and I would say if you want to really know what's going on, Christians should know it. You say you don't agree with anything we're saying. Well, you can read it and try to refute it, but it has documented evidence. It's a masterpiece. It might be called, since it's dealing with the most important subject, the Word of God, the book of the century, because of what it's saying. And any informed person should read this book and know about it. Now, I want to read a few passages and comment on this dealing with the Word of God. Now, you know, there's a passage in the Old Testament where God says about, he says, my shepherds are all dumb dogs. They refuse to bark. In other words, they had a DD degree from God, but it wasn't a good thing because it says they were dumb dogs. They refused to bark. Well, God's shepherds should bark. You know, that what's the dog do? He barks and warns people. And so we do some barking on this program. We're warning people against false Greek texts, against false corrupt Bibles. And God tells us we are earnestly to contend for the faith. Modern Bibles, they're not an update. I talked to somebody just recently. They thought that it was just a chain updating words. They are not. They are coming from an entirely different Greek text, and we've been saying this. And we're not some new idea or some new cult that's come along, because Charles Spurgeon warned about the very same thing we're talking about. So did D.L. Moody. So did Billy Sunday. And so many of the great leaders of the past, they faced this issue, the very same thing, the corrupt Bibles, corrupt words. And so that's what the program is. And we have the words of God today. The words of the Lord are pure words, God says. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has given us his words. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart. And the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. You know, there's a lot of discussion going on today about all kinds of false teachings. And there's people out there, and I've heard them say it on Visitation. They'll say, well, there's so many different ideas out there, you don't know what to believe. I mean, so many people saying contradictory things. Well, I tell you one thing. If you will read that Bible systematically, you will know where the truth is. And when somebody says something that is false, you just see right there, God will bring it to your mind. And you have to read the chapter two or three times and read it systematically. If you jump in and out, man, you can be deceived. But if you read the Bible systematically, you'll know where the truth is. And even the corrupt Bibles, they all point to the King James like a laser beam. And we give the scripture verses that uphold the King James Bible. If God's so concerned about his words, in the last words of Jesus, he talked about adding to the words or subtracting from the words, and he put a curse on people that did. So the words are very, very important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I talked to a fellow, and he didn't think the words were important. Well, he hadn't read the Bible. But the words are extremely important, and God said he would keep those words. And it says in the Bible, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. On the day of Pentecost, why, they were preaching the word of God, and it was a miracle of hearing, because every man heard them in his own tongue, in his own language, what they were saying. And so God started it out by speaking in the languages of the people of the earth, and that's why the whole world heard the word of God, because the Jews coming up at Pentecost heard the word of God preached in their own language and then took it back home, and they were bilingual, and they preached the word of God to the whole world. Those Jews that believed in Jesus, which were thousands of them, and believed in Christ. And so God said he'd preserve his words, and he said, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. But there were people that talked against Christ. And it says here in the book of John chapter 10, verse 19, there was division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And that's been true. There's always been Jewish people that believed in Jesus and been very active in their belief. I've gone to New York City, and there's people preaching on the street corners, Jewish people preaching Jesus. Right here in Cleveland, some Jewish man was on the street corners, very, very intelligent, and he was preaching about Jesus. And so some do believe and some don't. But it says, and many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Well, because he made the claims. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jews knew what that meant. Because when God told Moses to go into Egypt, and Moses said, who will I tell them that you are? And God said, you tell them that I am that I am. Jesus said, I am, over and over again. I am the word of life. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said this. He claimed to be God. Now they said, well, you have a devil. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Thou be the Christ. Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now, at Jesus' trial, nobody said he didn't do the works. And he did stupendous works. He raised the dead. And hundreds of thousands of Jewish people saw him do this. Only God could raise the dead. Only God could put the sight, restore sight to a man that, or put sight in the man that was born blind. You see, when Jesus picked up that clay and he spit on it, he made the eye, he made eyeballs for the man right on the spot. Only God could do that. He was saying, I'm the one that started the job and created him in his mother's womb, and I'm finishing the job right now, and put the eyes in the man's eyes. And then he makes this statement, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, that is a key verse defending the authorized King James Bible. For 100 years, there's been an attack on it from many, many sources, from seminaries, from Bible institutes, from many denominational leaders. They have been attacking it. And yet, despite that, the great majority of Christians that read the Bible every day, it's the ones that read it every day, not the ones that read it once in a while, every day are reading the King James. And generation after generation goes by, and it comes back. And it comes back, and the other versions, they just disappear. Why? Because Jesus' sheep, the born-again saved people, have heard the voice of Jesus in the King James Bible. And he says, I hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And he says, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So they hear the voice. And that's why the modern ones come from people that Christians have picked up on it. Certain Christians, because somebody talks about scholarship and science. And so they have been copying unsaved people, but most of it comes from people that don't believe in Jesus Christ as God. They're not saved. And some evangelical Christians in the schools, they're using this and teaching preachers. But the reason, my sheep hear my voice, the Lord says. And it says, a stranger will they not follow. And somebody that has a humble heart, that prays to the Lord daily and reads the Bible daily, in overwhelming numbers, they're reading the King James. Why? Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Since the King James Bible came out, 200 translations have come out and died, and that one goes on. And that one is based on the text given to us by the apostles. When the King James translator sat down, and I repeat this over and over again so you understand this, but the translation was put out in 200 of the New Testament into the italic text of the Old Latin. And the Old Latin came out before the Vulgate. The Vulgate didn't come out until 400 years. The translation of the italic Old Latin text came out in 200. And it was kept, and it was promoted by Bible-believing Christians, the Waldensians, that taught believers' baptism, that taught premillennialism, and the doctrines we teach today. And down through the ages, they were copying it in the Old Latin, the italic text, and then it was in the Gothic text, translated very early. And many of the words in the King James are actually the words in this early translation of the Bible that was translated shortly after the apostles. And the words are still in there today. Maybe the spelling has changed, but in the Gothic, and they're still in the King James Bible. The Koine Greek, it's the Paulician group, they were copying it, and it came down to us through the Koine Greek, and the King James translators had this, had these different translations on the table, and it's called the Received Text, but it's called the Antiochian Text also, because it comes, it's they name this text the Received Text, but they name it Antiochian Text. Antioch was the missionary church that sent out missionaries into Europe. And so those missionaries were carrying the Old Latin, the Gothic. They were carrying an, even the Syriac and the Koine Greek text. And the Syriac text was carried all the way into China by the Nestorians. And it was being preached by 700 all over China. And it was the text that was used, and it came down from the apostles, the Received Text. So Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger will they not follow. That's how God, one of the ways he preserved his text, because if a corrupt text come out, the Holy Spirit in his still small voice moved Christians to the true text. And we're here to tell you that you don't have to worry about all these different false teachings if you read the Bible systematically. In case you don't understand that, I'm saying you read the New Testament, you read Matthew chapter 1, then Matthew 2, and finish up Matthew, and then you read Matthew, Mark, you read one chapter 1, and go all the way through that reading one chapter after another, reading each chapter two or three times. Even if you read one chapter a day and read it two or three times so it sticks in your mind, that'll only take you probably 10 to 15 minutes to do that. And you can then say a prayer and ask God's help for you, see? But we're telling you that these preachers, I don't care how spiritual they talk and who they are and how much prestige, you know, they say that it's the Word of God. If it is the Word of God, how can they correct it? Brother Marvin read that God said his Word is true. If it's the Word of God, and they're corrected, what are they doing? They're correcting God, right? Amen. Isn't that simple logic? They're correcting God. And they say they stand for the Word of God, but it's some kind of a mystical Bible, neither here nor there. Or they'll say the originals, which nobody has, and nobody ever had all the originals. You know, and we have copies of copies. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, he said, "It is written." He didn't question the copies that he had. He had copies of copies. And he always said, "It is written." He never said, this is not true, or this is a false translation, or a better reading is. He never talked like that, see. And, you know, people quote this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God," 1 Timothy 3:15. And they quote that, and they say this refers to the originals. I am telling you, if that is not the biggest lie that you ever heard, that it's just referred to the originals. So after that, we're not supposed to have entire scripture if it's just, sure, the originals were inspired, but what we have today is also inspired. And they don't read the verse before that. They don't read 1 Timothy 3:15, which says, "From a child thou hast known the scriptures." Now, Timothy, did he have the originals? Preacher, did he have the originals? That was hundreds of years later. And it says, "From a child thou hast known the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God." If it's scripture, it's inspired. And it's not just the originals, because he had copies of copies. So 1 Timothy 3:15, "From a child thou hast known the scriptures." He had copies of copies. And it says in 3:16, "The scripture is inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God." And so if it's preserved, which God said it is, then it's inspired. When we're reading the King James, it is inspired because it's preserved, even though it is based on copies of copies. And the Holy Spirit guides you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And, you know, he said it's all truth, and he will abide with you forever. He didn't say it was partial truth. These Bible correctors that correct it, they're denying what Jesus said, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. And that's the apostles. And they wrote the scripture down, and then the scripture is preserved in the words. And then God said that the Holy Spirit would be with them forever. So we are reading inspired scripture. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They're living. And that's how we know God's word is true. One of the many scripture verses that point to the authorized King James Bible. Jesus said, "A stranger will they not follow." 200 translations have gone out, and one's on its way out right now. And the King James continues on because it is the word of God. Well, we have an announcement, and then we'll continue.
Can Christian music be performed at a public school for an extracurricular event? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I just wanted to mention that about a month and a half ago, my sons, who have a Christian band, they were participating on a talent show for 7th to 10th grade. And after the whole thing was over, the person who was in charge of the tryout came to my son, who is the conductor, the leader of the group, and told him they needed a copy of the actual song that we're going to sing in, because they want to make sure that it was nothing extremely religious shown there, or the word God. Knowing that, he was able to choose a song that was Christian but was not explicitly like that, and it was okay. And then after the whole thing was over, I told my son, "Don't worry about it. You know, even if you had something like that, I know people that can help us." And of course, I was thinking about you guys.
Well, listen, we would be glad to do it. I'm glad your case got worked out. We are there to make sure that these students are protected.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Does God have a great deal for us, or what? Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Having some turmoil, anxiety, stress, care, a lot of woes, cast them all upon Jesus. When we do that, he trades us his joy for our worries. It's kind of a courage transfusion. 1 Peter 5 encourages us to cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Did you catch that exchange? Your anxiety gone, his love and care present. And along with it, the deep abiding joy of the Lord.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
right. I'm so glad to have Pastor Al Davis here with us, and he is talking about the Bible from science. And the Bible has many amazing scientific statements in it, and he's going to tell us about one of them.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce. And I just wanted to share something here today. And in Genesis chapter 9, there's a statement. This is after Noah and his family got off the ark. And God gives him this statement that says, "But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." And he begins talking about the blood, and he says, "The flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof." This is stated a little bit differently here in Leviticus 17, in two verses here. Verse 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." And then he says in verse 17, 14 again, "For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." And then one more, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 23 says, "Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, that thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh." Now, that's a tremendous statement. Blood is an amazing liquid that courses through our veins. None of us would be sitting in the studio very long without any blood, and nobody would be listening without the blood. And this blood is something that has not been understood throughout history, and even today, doctors, even though we do a lot with it, I mean, we give blood transfusions and we store blood, give blood. Some people sell blood. They take parts of the blood out. They use it for a variety of things. But everybody knows that if you lose too much blood, you're going to die. But that was not understood all the time. And this is an evidence of some scientific, some medical truth that's in the Word of God that just was not known. Before, it used to be that people would bleed people because they thought if they were sick that they had bad blood and it needed to be let out. And they had various humors that they called it at one time. They believed that the balance of those humors would be get out of whack. And so you'd have to let the blood out to get things back into balance. And a lot of people are familiar with how George Washington, our first president under the Constitution, was bled, and that bleeding probably is what actually killed him. He would have lived at least beyond that had he not been bled, because that was the prevailing scientific opinion of the day. Now, I guarantee if we went back there and we told the learned doctors of the day that, no, you should not let out the blood of President Washington, you're going to kill him, they'd have restrained you, put you out, and they called security and said, this man's trying to harm the president. Get him out of here so that we can provide the best medical care possible. Because they did not understand the simple truth of the Word of God, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And this is a medical truth that you ever see the red and white striped pole at the barber shop? That's because years and years ago, in hundreds of years ago, barbers did more than cut hair. They pulled teeth, they did minor surgeries and things like that. And one of those things that they did was bloodletting. And they used leeches and knives, lancets and things to get the bad blood out of people. And in doing so, they were following the medical wisdom of the day, but they weren't following God's wisdom, which is more timeless. The great physician recorded in his words several times, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." It's the blood that God gave us. And not only is the life of the flesh in the blood, the Bible says that it's the blood that's given for an atonement for sin. It's our payment for sin. And it's the blood of Christ ultimately that was shed on the cross that pays for our sin. So life is indeed in the blood, isn't it?
Absolutely, and God knew this. And it's interesting, in the New Testament, it says, "He has made of one blood all nations for it to dwell upon the face of the earth."
Right, we're all the same family.
Yes,
and you know, DNA has proved that.
Exchange blood, you know, with somebody that's lived in China or Africa or something. When you go to the hospital, you don't know where that blood's coming from. But we have the same blood. I read somewhere if you put blood of a chimpanzee or orangutan in you, you'd be dead.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yes.
Without a doubt. In fact, getting into genetics, just touch on it briefly, maybe another show we can talk about this more. But science has shown through the study of genetics that every single human being on the planet Earth is a descendant of one woman whom they call Eve, and also the descendant of one man, and they call Eve mitochondrial Eve, and they call the one man, they call him genetic Adam. So,
well, thank you for that. You know, we can trust the Bible and about anything, whether it comes to history, archaeology, science, philosophy, psychology, anything. I hear sometimes young people, they say, well, I want to go and study science, or I want to study psychology. I tell you, the psychologists are just playing with their tinker toys in their sandbox compared to the psychology given in the Bible. If you want to know psychology, you study the Word of God, and it tells you what makes man tick. And you'll learn all about that, and you will be wiser than any psychologist. A lot of psychology is just unconverted philosophy about man that is actually false. But anyway, I think right at this time, why don't we have Bryn sing for us? If you call for these books, she probably will answer the phone. And she has a good voice, and so we have her sing. And we'll ask Bryn to sing now at this time.
I am all for
Well, you sure did a beautiful job there, Bryn, and you can call her and get these books. And Gail told me, Gail Ripplinger told me that that's her daughter, and she is very well informed on this subject also. So you maybe have a question that you would like to have answered, and probably she can answer it because she's studying this issue too. And so we thank you for doing that. I just want to thank the Lord for the new listeners that we have. And although Brother Al read a list of some of the countries I see on here, some of the newer ones that just have checked us on the website, it was Argentina is one of the newer ones, and Brazil. I'm just glad for all these listeners in these different countries, and that we picked up a number of listeners in China, new ones. Let's see here. I'm looking down this list. Kazakhstan. This next one, I'm not even sure how to say Kyrgyzstan. I'll say that. I'll just guess at it. And Moldavia. And we have listeners for our program on these different just started listening. So I thank God for that. I'm going to I want to talk from the book of Genesis. And before I get on this, we'd like to have you call in if you are free. Now, in our area, people, this part of the United States, people are just coming home from work. So more people are probably listening, but we would get less callers because they're on their way home from work and just getting, just sort of changing things. But I'm going to ask Brother Al at this time to give the phone numbers again and try to get this down. And we would love to hear you, and even from other countries. And I understand this is a toll-free call. I'd like to hear some people from another country, as long as you can talk to us in English. Okay.
All right. The toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I know that works in Canada and the United States. And then, of course, anybody can call the number at 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933.
Thanks very much. And I'm going to ask you to repeat that again in a few minutes, because sometimes when I hear a number, somebody calls or a number on the radio, I don't quite get it, you know. So if you didn't get it that time, get out your pen and paper, and we'll have you do that again. But I want to talk from Genesis chapter 2, and we discussed this, or chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3. And we could talk about it, and you guys can say your piece too as we're going along here. And you could call in and have your question. But Genesis chapter 3, and this is something I've very seldom heard, remember anybody preaching on this subject and talking about it on radio and television, and yet it's so important, and particularly these verses. Now it says, the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field. Now the devil is introduced here the first time, and he's called the serpent, and it's very interesting here that it says he's more subtle than the beast of the field. He's smarter than any animal, and he is the enemy of God, and he is the old serpent, the devil. And it says here, he says his first words, it says, the devil which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, he starts out by saying yes, and for instance, there's many programs on television or on the radio, and they act like they're Christian and they agree with you. I mean, that's a good way to start, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the devil says, yea, hath God said. Okay, and so he agrees. He starts off. And so many times the devil is speaking and pretending that he is a sheep when he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's important. And you can call in. We have some callers on the line, and I'll let you talk in just a minute. Yea, hath God said. So the first thing he says is he questions the word of God. That's his program all the way through. That's why we have this program, because the devil has many agents that are questioning the word of God. Jesus talked about that. The sower sowed the seed, and the seed was the word of God. But then the fowls of the air, who worked? Jesus interpreted as working for the devil, they came and took that seed away. And so it says, yea, hath God said, so he questions the word of God. That's his whole program. And our program is up to uphold the word of God. And I see this on radio and television. Today I was listening to some music on TV, professing Christian program, and they say, well, we believe the Bible is the word of God, and they even use the King James, but they're correcting it at the same time. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now, here she misquotes what God has said. She changes what God said. That's what this program's all about. The modern versions, they are not synonyms, updating the words. They are changing the words from a false text. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch of it. Now, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She takes out the word freely. Salvation is a free gift. If you work for it, you'll never make heaven. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So she takes out the word freely. Of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Well, she adds to the word of God. God didn't say, neither shall ye touch it. He said, neither shall ye eat it. And then she says, lest ye die. God said, you shall surely die. And so what does she do? She revises the word of God and brings death and hell and destruction. That's what we're talking about on this program. The word of God has been revised and changed in thousands of words. It's the modern versions. The NIV is not just updating the King James. It's changing the words of the true text. Well, we have a caller on the line, I understand, so.
I believe we have Ross who called in first.
Okay.
And welcome, Ross.
All right, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hello, you right-wing fanaticals. How you doing?
We're doing fine. You can call us whatever you want.
I know. Hey, I was sharing with your screener that no time in history have we had the Catholic Church run by 3/4 Jesuits, which means, that could possibly be, it won't be dogmatic, but it could be the three unclean frog spirits mentioned in Revelation. Not dogmatic, but just kind of funny how that ties in. And what most people may or may not know is that every Bible, apart from the Authorized Version Bible, is from the D. Rheims Bible, which is the Jesuit Bible to counteract the Authorized Version. In other words, the Jesuits hate the Authorized Version. They say, quote, it's the only Bible that has a bite to it. And I just thought that was quite interesting how I even called up some radio shows that try to expose the jihad, and it says, well, the jihad's run by the Jesuits. Click, off we go. So I just thought I'd share that with you for to research into, because, even the New World Translation Bible looks like the NIV Bible. If you study this thing out, it's horrendous.
Well, okay, and that is really true. This whole business of the Bible being corrected and everything, it was started by a Jesuit priest named Simon, or Simon. And so he started it today. For instance, Geisler and Nix, Geisler is he's a nice guy. My sister and brother-in-law, they knew him, and he was even teaching at Liberty, but he got his doctorate from the Jesuits. And if you read one of his recent books on biblical authority, it promotes the textual criticism that was promoted and started by the Jesuits. So this is simple factual information that if you ever study the history of the text in detail, you know this to be the truth. This isn't one individual that's obscure saying this. And so the Jesuits have been promoting this, and Geisler got his Doctor of Divinity from the Jesuits. And he puts out this book on biblical authority, and it's teaching textual criticism, which is started by the Jesuits. And a lot of preachers are being taught this information. But the true text is based on the Syriac Peshitta. It's based on the Old Latin, the Koine Greek. All of these back the King James. The evidence is overwhelming. 99% of the great ancient manuscripts and church fathers back up the King James.
That's exactly right, brother. That is exactly right. And we need to expose these people for what they are, because just like you said, a lot of these people aren't even saved.
That's right. So God said, thy word is true from the beginning, and it's been taught by the Bible-believing churches. The Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The true churches are the ones that have upheld the true word of God. And thank God, when you read the King James Bible, you are reading what God said. And you don't have to worry about all these cults and false teaching. Just continue to read the Bible systematically. King James Bible. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding